Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our September meeting of Council via Skype. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. As we know, we're in unprecedented times. I can ask for everybody's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines in regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure that mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion on in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to do so will be given a warning. Failure to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such item, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up on the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. And the proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on for speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting itself. So please ensure if you wish to speak at an item, you use the instant message facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I bring in members as listed, and members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I'd remind members to keep their instant message to the following letters, to type in Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. And I suppose please refrain from making any other comments using the instant message. And in the event that two councillors propose at the one time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, so in terms of Chairman's remarks, I want to express my sadness at the death of Brian Black in Strangford in August and pass on my condolences and that of the council to his family. I've also learned today that our own council colleague, Cathy Mason, buried her grandmummy today, Mrs. Node, so our thoughts are with Cathy and her wider family at this difficult time. I also want to thank the community of Newcastle for rallying around those affected by the recent flood. For many of us on the ground that day, it was simply devastating. Houses have been destroyed and many people will be out of their homes for months. So it's heartbreaking. I do want to thank Minister Mallon for attending the scene and for pressing ahead with the much-needed Chimney River Flood Alleviation Scheme. Thanks also to the council staff, agencies and voluntary organisations who worked together extremely well on that day in the very difficult circumstances. So thank you for that. I also don't want another council meeting to sort of pass without me raising again and highlighting COVID-19. To remind people that the virus is still very much among us and we need to still exercise extreme caution. When indoors and in situations where we can't socially distance, I'm encouraging people to wear masks, keep our distance and regularly wash their hands and download the app. There remains an onus on all of us to exercise that personal responsibility, and I suppose COVID-19 must be at the forefront of all that we do for the foreseeable. So in terms of the meeting itself, can I now take any apologies?
Chair, an apology from Councillor Mason. Councillor Burgess is having problems getting on. We're trying to get him connected, but he'd come on at some stage. And Councillor Gallagher is running late.
Chair, Councillor Harold McKee as well.
Okay.
Chair, Councillor Mulgrew's problems with Robert.
Okay. Thanks very much.
I'll be leaving at 7:15.
Okay, that's Billy. Yes, okay, thanks for that. And also, have we any declarations of interest? No, okay.
Sorry, Chair, Councillor McAteer has a question. In.
Oh, apologies. Yes, Declan?
No, that's an error. Sorry, it was a.
Can
you take a mistake?
A test to see if we're listening. Okay, thanks, Declan, very much. If we can maybe move on to the action sheet then, folks, if we can go through again page by page for accuracy initially. So it's page 1, page 2, page 3 and page 4. And do we have a proposal there from Councillor O'Mara and a seconder from Councillor Savage? Have we any matters arising? Okay. Well, maybe then move on to the... sorry, Sarah, there's a note there from Councillor N right there. Can you maybe, or in his agenda, if you maybe tend to that. Thank you. If we then move on to the minutes of the Council meeting on the 3rd of August. So again, we'll go through them page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. And we have a proposal there from Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Savage. Have we any matters arising from the full council meeting? Okay. If we move on in item 5, which is the minutes of the ERT meeting on the 10th of August. So again, page by page for accuracy, and bear with me, 18 pages here. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Councillor Finnegan, I see you've got a question. Does that relate to the accuracy, or is that under matters arising?
That's in matters arising.
Okay. In that case, then, Councillor Stokes, are you content to propose? And
yes, Chair, and I have a question as well. Thanks.
Okay, I'll bring in the question afterwards. And you have somebody to second there. Is that Councillor Brown, maybe? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Councillor Brown's in for second.
Okay, thank you, folks. Go back then to Councillor Finnegan for your question.
Thanks, Chair. Mine's just in relation to tourism events and arts sector. I've had a lot of the community associations in this area, they're very anxious to get plans up and going for the Halloween and the Christmas events that normally take place. Of course, they're not able to do their normal festivities, and in Crossmaglen, this is their traditional festivities is a huge thing. So they're wondering whether there's going to be a support programme or an update of a support programme for the Halloween and the Christmas events. Just a bit of clarification on that. Will there be an opportunity for virtual events, and if there is other plans in place, is there going to be a support programme in place for them?
Okay, thanks, Councillor Finnegan. Connor, are you available to come in there and answer those questions?
Yes, thanks, Chair. We are currently working on a paper to bring the ERT committee next week on events, and there will be further reports come to committee in October that will look at both Halloween and Christmas, so we're happy to consider that.
Thanks, Connor. Okay, Councillor Finnegan, can we maybe then go on ahead and bring in Councillor Stokes? Are you on mute there, Gary, I think?
Thanks, Sarah. Sorry, apologies. No, it's just under the Brexit forum within the minister, and the rather catastrophic, scary announcement that we made in the Financial Times last week, which has been verified over the weekend, that the UK had now gone back on their assurance and that they made an agreement with the EU like early this year, late last year, in terms of ensuring there wouldn't be a hard border on the island of Ireland, and they've now come out and said that no, they're going to pass legislation to revoke that. Chair, and I see, Chair, that the party leaders in the North today have written to the UK government expressing their alarm. So from our council's point of view, Chair, can I ask that fairly quickly we reconvene a meeting of the Brexit forum and look at the potential hazardous impact here that this is going to have. We thought we'd some assurances going forward. Obviously, everything's up in the air again, Chair, and if our businesses out there locally and across the district weren't having enough to deal with everything else plus COVID, now they have a potential hard Brexit coming as well, Chair. It's very alarming, and I would just ask that we reconvene that meeting of that forum fairly quickly. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Stokes. Is there a seconder for that proposal there?
I would second that, Chair.
Is that Councillor Andrews? Thank you.
I second that proposal, Councillor Stokes.
Thank you, Terry. Are we all in agreement in that regard? Intent to move on. Okay. Can we then the next question is from Councillor Ruan?
Nora.
Yep.
Just on the Gary Stokes proposal there, you know, it's important to point out that Mr. Barnier gave us a solemn assurance that it would be the minimum rules necessary. And he also said promised unfettered trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. And he is backtracking on that, and that is why the British government needs to put in some form of legislation to make sure that they can't make business impossible here. So I fully support some amendments to the withdrawal. It's not an amendment, it's only tidying it up to make sure that the EU can't use it against us.
I think, to be fair, thank you, Councillor Ryan, and again, I think the Brexit Forum would be the proper, you know, vehicle for us to have that conversation. You know, not other than tonight, but if we can get that reconvened, and certainly then you can input through that channel, that would be very welcome. Let me see. Now, can we move on to Councillor Ruan?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask Conor in relation to the proposal on the baths and Moran Point, that as part of that paper that will be brought back to Council, that it will include a portion on the the paper that was done previously where there was a plan and approval for the baths, that will form part of the paper that was brought back for decision making at a future Council meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Trotter.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, in response to Councillor Ryan's request, we would intend to include all options for the future of Warren Point Baths, including refurbishment, including the planning application approved that currently sits with the Council as well. So I would say there's nothing ruled in and nothing ruled out, and we'll have a full assessment of options going forward.
Thank you. Conor, are you content with that, Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, that's fine, Chair. Thank you.
I see now that this would happen. We've got a request from Councillor Clark, Taylor, McAteer and Gibbons. Is anybody looking to speak on this issue, or can I go on ahead and take in Councillor Clark? We're going to move on.
On the issue of the baths, Laura, is it?
Yeah. Are you looking in that, Declan?
Yeah. Just yes, again, just to add to that, just the information of the meeting, that I had a meeting with the Chief Executive of Tourism NI regarding the Warren Point Baths last week, and been very encouraged by the enthusiasm from the Chief Executive in terms of developing not alone the baths, but the baths in the context of a master plan for Carlingford Lough, which would incorporate, a lot of outworking of the built heritage that we have there, for example, castles and the sports facilities and the water sports on the lock, not to mention the food industry as well and the restaurants. So, a very positive meeting, and he would see the Warren Point Baths as forming a great integral part of a master plan involving Louth County Council and also the Peace Plus program as well. So momentum is building on this whole Baths project, you know. So certainly have no objection to still having that on the table, which we have previously passed a planning application for, but suffice to say that it didn't inspire much enthusiasm from potential partners at the time. So personally speaking, I'm looking forward to something more adventurous in terms of our development of the baths. And I can also say that the Chief Executive of the Tourism and I will be in contact with senior council staff in relation to this in the very near future.
Sure, can I just come in on that with the baths as well then? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
it's myself, Mark Gibbons.
Oh, Mark, yeah, sure, sorry, I was a checker. Yep, come on ahead, the same topic, no bother.
So just what Declan was saying there regarding the baths, we really need to get, we need to move urgently regarding Warren Point Baths. We've been kicking this can down the road now for decades. It's been in council ownership for that long, and there's going to come a time, if we keep on talking and talking about this project, that we're going to wake up some morning and the whole lot is going to be in the tide. It is getting battered that long. There needs to be urgent action. We need to really, really get it done and stop talking about it. And we need to do it as soon as we can regarding the baths.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. I can just remind members, if we could maybe this season, if we could all try to just turn on our cameras, would be useful in terms of the opening remarks of the meeting, if that's okay. Now, let me say Councillor Clark and then Taylor. Willie, do you want to come in at this point?
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'll just put my video on for you.
Thank you.
Good night, Willie. My point is about in regards to the item and universal basic income. And as we had a good discussion at the ERT meeting in regards to it, Sinn Féin appreciate the motion is well intentioned. But UBI, it's not the silver bullet. Our problem, Sinn Féin's problem, is with part B of it, of the way forward or the recommendation, which is council commit to producing a plan for how a pilot of the full universal basic income would be implemented within the district and formally express its support for said pilot. Basically, what I'm saying is that this is not a council issue. The council is not responsible in regards to taxation and also delivering welfare benefits and likewise in regards to even Stormont don't have the fiscal powers in regards to these items. So it is the British Treasury who will have to make the decision in regards to that for if there's going to be a universal basic income in the north of Ireland. So for that point, I'd propose we remove this item B, and we allow item A to go ahead. As I say, talking to the proposal then, Chair, we have difficulties in regards to, you know, how it's going to, I'm not going to go rehearse everything that was said at the ERT meeting, but we have difficulties in regards to how the people in need are going to receive the required resources that they require. In regards to, if we look at the tax system, for example, you know, it is in the power of the British government, you know, so we talk about who's going to get this universal basic income. Is there a level of income who are going to get it? Is there going to be a higher taxation on the general population over a certain income? So there's a number of questions in regards to that. But our problem mainly is that, you know, you're going to take money away from the most needy and you're going to give it to millionaires. So that's our concern in regards to this, Chair. We can't support the council doing the work because we're not going to waste resources in regards to this. It's not our responsibility. So the removal of Section B or Part B will allow the motion to go ahead. So I propose we do that, Chair.
Sorry, apologies. Has the chair just dropped out there?
Yeah, he's all right.
A lot of people dropped out.
Did they?
I'm still here.
Laura's back.
Rowan calling.
Oh, you're there again, Laura. Are you there?
Crossguard's here.
Sorry, if everybody could just bear with us a few minutes here.
Sorry, I was trying to get Robert on there. I'm not sure what's happened. Laura has gone offline.
Bear with me a sec.
She's back online now.
She's back.
This has gone green anyway.
As long as it's not orange. Oh, okay.
I'm saying nothing.
It's very quiet, so it is. It's very surreal.
We should change it, right?
Definitely does, Willie.
Carrie, there's nothing like you to fill the silence by.
I think Laura. I think that should be Laura back in.
Just be careful, we're still recording, guys.
I'm ready for a row, if anybody wants me.
No, you're fine, Henry. Thank you very much for your kind invitation.
Any shout-outs?
Sorry, Counselors, can I just remind, we're still actually recording at the minute?
Yeah.
Laura, that should be you back.
On now, is it, Laura?
Yeah.
So sorry, folks, I'm not sure what happened there. The joys of a Skype meeting from Castlewell, and it's just dropped out there. Willie, I missed I got to the point that you were making a proposal. Would you be content to make that proposal again, and then we can see if you've got a seconder?
Yeah, no problem, Laura. Basically, what I was saying, we had a problem, champion of a problem with the second part of the motion in regards to the council carries out, you know, produces a plan for a pilot of a full universal basic income. How it be implemented in the district. That's not our responsibility. That was the responsibility of Westminster Treasury, and then also the Stormont Assembly would be responsible for that. They would maybe set guidelines for ourselves, you know, from Stormont, but it's certainly not what we had wasted our officers' time in regards to doing if it wasn't going to be implemented. So I would ask the proposal is to remove item B and allow the motion then to go ahead. And as I said, Chair, we have no confidence in the Tory government bringing forward any proposals that resemble a progressive taxation system or look after the most needy. So, as I said, we'll remove proposal is remove item B and allow the rest of the motion to go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Willie. I see there are any interventions there that Farah is wanting to second the proposal. Will we go ahead and put that to the vote? Is everybody in agreement with that? Councillor Brown, is this on the same topic?
Yes, it is, Chair. Yeah.
Do you want to come in there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose, no fan of the Tories either, but one thing you can say for them is that they probably know where they stand on these sort of issues, and Sinn Féin clearly don't. I would point out that we've already discussed all of these issues that Councillor Clark has raised at committee last month. The only thing that seems to have changed in regard to this issue is Sinn Féin's mind on it. At the committee, I pointed out that councils right across the UK, in Scotland, Wales, England, and indeed here now two councils in Northern Ireland, have backed a basic income both in principle, which Councillor Clark claims is point A of that motion, although it wasn't broken up as such, and then point B in terms of looking into how a trial would work locally. It's very clear that that does not commit council financially to paying for or funding a basic income. It's simply a very simple report as to how a trial might work, and indeed we have other councils in Northern Ireland that have backed the idea now that we could potentially collaborate with to provide that report, so I really don't think it is very much officer time at all to ask. It's a relatively straightforward proposal. I'm just really confused as to what Sinn Féin's position is on this. I mean, there were four in Belfast City Council in 2015. They actually brought a motion on a citizen's basic income. They were for it in March, putting a graphics on Twitter on it. They then were against it in Uri Mornin Down in August, and now they're apparently for it again. And, you know, even the MP for the area took to Twitter after the motion passed last month and saying that UBI is flawed thinking and it would fall short of helping those in need. I've got the tweets in front of me here. It would be damaging for workers' bargaining powers, you know, very clearly against UBI. So the party does seem to be all over the place on this issue. So I'd ask, before considering any amendment, what is Sinn Féin's actual issue on this? What is the actual position? And I just want to finish up, Laura, on this. I do think that the wording, as per the motion that myself and John Traynor proposed, is absolutely fine. So I would be voting against that proposal to change it.
Excuse me, sorry, I'm trying to make it. If you don't mind, I'll just let you in there again, because clearly it was your motion. We've got a motion in front of us that's been proposed and has been a proposal. It's been proposed and seconded, so we're going to put that to a vote. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Chair, can I come back there first?
No, Willie, I've got a proposal, about a second, if you don't mind, in front of me.
I just want to sum up.
Because we're gonna back and forward.
No, but I want to sum up.
Okay, can you keep it brief?
Yeah. No, I will make it brief. Patrick goes on about Sinn Féin's position. Patrick should concentrate on the Alliance's position. Sinn Féin will look after ourselves. Nothing to do with Patrick, really. What I will say is, what Patrick probably needs to look at is, you know, the questions his party has to look at. So at what level would the payment be met? What payment would be set? How much would it cost? How much would high earners receive, millionaires receive? What is the opportunity cost of the spend? That's some of the questions that Patrick has to maybe consider in regards to this. And some of the proposals from the last party, Chair, in regards to water charges, for example, which hit the most vulnerable, which the Alliance Party support. Maybe he needs to look at his own policies in regards to that. I'll leave it there, Chair.
Okay, listen, what we're asking is we're not getting back into a to and fro, back and forth. We've got a proposal that's been seconded, and so we're going to put it to a vote. Are we all in agreement in terms of the vote, the proposal? Okay.
No, we do a recorded vote, Laura, so we do.
Okay. Sarah, can we do a recorded vote on the issue?
Yes, no problem.
Thanks very much.
Okay, Councillor Andrews. Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Councillor Andrews, you're on mute.
No, she says all crosswires are against.
Sorry, Councillor Enright's requesting to repeat what is being voted on.
Yes, I'm enough, Chair. What I'm saying is remove item B of the action, which is produce a plan to carry out a pilot in our area.
Okay, Councillor Brown?
Against.
Councillor Burgess is not on the call. Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Casey?
For the amendment.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Byrne?
Was that me?
Councillor Kern?
Okay, sorry. Against.
Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Doran?
For.
Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Gallagher? He is on.
Against.
Evans?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hanna?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Malone?
Against.
Councillor Mason's absent. Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McKeith absent. Councillor McKevitt?
Against.
Councillor McMurray?
Against.
He's asking Councillor Murphy.
For.
Councillor O'Hare.
For.
Councillor Murray.
For.
Councillor Owen.
Abstain.
Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rowan.
For.
Councillor Savage.
Against.
Councillor Stokes.
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Traynor?
Against.
Walker?
Abstain.
Okay, so I have 15 for, 19 against, and 3 abstentions.
Thanks very much. That proposal then has fallen. We stick to the current minutes. Okay, so can I also just remind members whenever we are speaking and actually voting, we need to have our cameras turned on, if at all possible. Okay, so we move forward. I'm conscious in the ERT minutes before my Wi-Fi dropped out. Councillor Taylor, you were looking in on an issue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Chair, apologies. Chair, apologies. My camera isn't working on Skype for some reason, so that's why I can't bring it up here. But listen, it was just in relation to Councillor Stokes' proposal. I have no issue with a Brexit forum meeting again. I sit on that forum, and I think it's a useful forum for us to have these type of discussions. But I'm just conscious that, certainly even from my own party's point of view, we're not happy with the current protocol as well, and we would be seeking changes. And I would want to ensure that the minutes, you know, reflect that there is different opinions on this, that no, it isn't the entire council's view that what's potentially being proposed, and we don't know where exactly this is. This is only a report this stage, and things are changing regularly on this, but I would certainly want the minister to reflect that there is different views on this, that there isn't just one opinion in terms of the protocol. So it was just conscious, but there was a comment made about all parties, certainly our party, and I know other parties have different views from what, you know, some of the others do in terms of those that would be, like, you know, certainly wouldn't be not particularly happy with Brexit. So I just wanted to make that comment.
That's fine. Okay. Well, that'll be noted, then obviously the Brexit forum will be the vehicle for having those further discussions. But also, you know, in terms of before the next council meeting, David, can I ask you to link in with IT in terms of the camera issues, if that's okay?
Sure, I help me with this several occasions and it continues to happen, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I'll go back then again on it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much. Okay, so that's the ERT minutes hopefully finished with. If we can move on to the FCNR meeting on the 13th of August, if we can go through the pages one by one for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 for accuracy. We've got a proposal there from Councillor Sharvin and a seconder from Councillor Dorn. Have we any matters arising? Okay, move on into item number 7, which is the...
Sorry, Laura, there's a question there from Councillor Stokes.
Yep, Gary, do you want to come on ahead there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just in relation, now that that's ratified, we've accepted we're going to do a full public consultation in relation to the site at behind Newry Cathedral and the car park behind Newry Cathedral. I suppose I want to just flag up that I suppose from our own council's point of view, we need to be careful in terms of, you know, having gone, we're accepting we're going for a public consultation, so we need to also accept that that consultation may well come back and say, look, that's not the right location. So I think from our own council's point of view, we need to be careful in terms of continue to spend money on that site. But I think also, in fairness, and maybe we'll do this anyway, but that we would write to our central government partners and just inform them we have taken the decision to go to a full public consultation on that site. I mean, post flagging up to them in case they would, you know, central government would also make any further spend on that site. And I think it was just to keep, you know, to keep them right too, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Tinley, is this the same issue or is this the next minute?
No, SPR, Chair.
Yep. What page number are you referring
page
to?
Page 4, Chair.
Go on ahead, Councillor
Tinley. It was agreed by Director Mallon to share with councillors the stakeholder engagement information. I was just wondering, when does he intend to do that, and was that all members of SBR or all councillors he was referring to?
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Connor, can you come back in there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. We're actually finalising that consultation list today, and I hope to have it issued tomorrow once it just gets validated and then ready for issue. But I would intend to issue it to all members.
Thank you, Connor. Okay, if we move on then to the Active and Healthy Communities minutes from the 17th of August. So if we can look at that again page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10 for accuracy. We have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews. Do we have a seconder for that minute, please? Yeah, from Councillor Murray. Thank you for that, Barra. Can we go back then, matters arising, Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Chair. Apologies there, just having issues pressing the start video button. Chair, no, it was just on the issue of the Safe Cycling initiatives. Really great to see that that item and the recommendations come through. It's really, really important. But I was going to try and make just an additional recommendation just on account of the fact that things have changed quite significantly since COVID-19 and all the rest of it, and also the appointment of our cycling and walking champion. I mean, I can certainly speak from my own DEA. We've had a number of issues raised about cycling and pedestrian interfaces and stuff. And it would be really, really useful to get said meeting with the walking and cycling champion. It's something I haven't, despite trying, haven't really been able to formulate and get confirmation of. So I would really like to add a recommendation that, you know, we as a council, as a corporate body, as I'm sure most councillors here would agree, have some sort of interaction with this walking and cycling champion in that regard. And secondly, as a final note, just would it be possible as well just to get a briefing at some stage regarding the state or where we stand with the Newcastle Downpatrick Cumber Greenway. Again, over the summer, numerous greenways have come online throughout the island. And you know, I would like to know where that's going, because again, it's fairly important not just to everyday life of people in this district, but also for the tourism issue as well. So anyway, thank you, Chair, for indulging us. Cheers, now.
Thank you, Councillor Corey. Michael, did you need to come back there on point? Sorry, Mike. Are they just comments?
Hi, Chair. No, I'm quite happy to arrange to talk to the councillor about that. I'll try and organise that tomorrow.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Right, is that to try and engage the walking and cycling champion? I mean, that's the crux of the point, is that we have not been engaged as a council. I mean, maybe these have gone on, but I mean, I've struggled to find any ways of contacting this walking and cycling champion. So, I mean, I really want to see the council engage us as councillors to then engage with the walking and cycling champion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Andy. Can we then bring in, I think it's Councillor Sharvin, you next?
Yeah, certainly. So on page 4, the item of financial assistance, the community engagement, I see under the agreed action, it's requested that we go back and re-examine the recommendations. Is there a timescale, Michael, whenever those recommendations will be re-examined and presented? Because obviously some of these capital and minor works are a great way to help restart our local economy, especially on a small and large scale. So it's just trying to understand the time frames with that, and then also the preparation, obviously, for those that are shovel-ready to apply.
Chair, if I could maybe just come in on that, sorry, just over Michael, if you don't mind. That's something that we are going to give a wee bit of consideration to at SMT this week, to see if we can come up with a set of proposals that would work for, I suppose, the committee and the members. We obviously have the concerns around the financial pressures on the organisation, but obviously then the need to support the community as well. So we will discuss it in some detail at SMT, and then I think, Michael, you'll be bringing a paper back to this month's AHC. Wouldn't that be right on that?
Yes, Chair, if you're happy, I'll comment on that. Yes, I'll be bringing it to this month's AHC committee. So that will cause a short delay in us being able to put it out. We were going to go out for the call, as you know, next month. So that means it will not be in that, potentially, unless we delay the whole call, which I don't want to do. So it may mean that we don't actually put the call out for those capital projects until January.
Sorry, Chair.
December.
Can I just come back? Is there no way of putting a call out as a separate entity for those capitals? Because obviously, as the Chief Executive just say, this is possibly a great way to help the community get back on its feet, and especially those smaller projects that help local companies deliver the capital works, surely we can make a special case of having that released rather than in January. That's a long time away, especially for the groups that would be applying, but also helping that restart of the economy. Surely we can't wait that long.
Sure. Again, I would suggest that we give that consideration at SMT. We obviously are keen to ensure that we can promote growth in the district. That has to be done within the constraints of our finances. And Michael will bring the detail back to the AHC committee then on... what month is this?
September.
September. Completely lost track of the year there. In September, and hopefully we'll get something moving forward on that.
Okay. Thank you, Marie. And Michael, Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, Chair, very briefly, just in terms of the reopening of the Minister of Indoor Leisure Centres, I just really wanted to pass on to the Director and his team the very positive feedback I've had from individual users and user groups on the council and how flexible, and I think I said before that it must be a very, very difficult task, but the feedback that I've received so far has been very, very good. Chair, thank you.
That's good. We like positive feedback. Good stuff. Councillor Clark?
One minute, Chair, I'm flicking between papers here.
You're okay.
So I put my video on here, Chair. Chair, a couple of points that maybe been outlined there. In regards to Councillor Andy McMurray, he's right in regards to the Down Patrick Newcastle Greenway proposal. I agree with him entirely. You know, the benefits are there, you know, promoting healthy living, sustainability, promoting tourism, helping with arts and crafts and businesses along the route. I think it's an important thing we need to follow up on. When it was brought back to council, there was a number of landowners who were resistant to the proposal. So we need to investigate, you know, we negotiate with the landowners, but at some stage do we consider vesting a piece of land to allow the walkway to take place. I think it happened in Wales where they had a coastal old coastal route where they took the legislation and that they had greenways right along the coastline. So I think it's a great opportunity for our district, and I think we shouldn't just ignore that, and I think we should investigate what options we have, and a paper should be brought back in regards to that. And also in regards, he's right also in regards to, you know, cycling and safe routes, and particularly with COVID-19 pandemic, there's a greater interest in the outdoors, and people are more inclined now to either run, walk, or cycle. So I think there's a real opportunity, there's a real buy-in from the community. So I think we should, in my opinion, I propose the council needs to develop a site for our council area. I think that's long overdue. I've mentioned it many times. It's never been followed up, so I'd like to make a proposal that we do have develop a cycling strategy, both on road and off road, for our council area.
Can I come in, Chair, just to provide some information?
Yes, I can. Yep.
Just to follow up on Councillor Clark's suggestion around a paper, around a strategy. We have a paper coming to ERT next Monday, which outlines proposals to develop a strategy starting with Newry and Downpatrick, and as a pilot to develop a strategy and appoint a specialist to look at how we can connect and signpost our current infrastructure and make linkages and connections. So I have a paper coming next week to ERT with respect to that.
That's in regards to walking trails?
Walking and cycling routes, yeah, and active travel.
Yeah, but we'll have to link up the other areas.
Yeah. But this is just a start. We're just trying to get it started and moving. But I have a paper coming next week.
Right. We may make an amendment to that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Connor. And I think the next person looking in was Councillor Riley. Henry, do you want to make a comment there? Councillor Riley? Okay, we'll move on then, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. The month before the last election, a report came before council on the Newcastle Greenway via Downpatrick to Belfast. It was a report funded by money that Chris Hazard got us, £50,000. Now, the report basically said that the National Trust was against it and was unwilling to let us use their land. It also said that the Railway Society was against it. I went back to the National Trust, and they denied that they were against it, and the Railway Society similarly were not affected by it. I went to Chris Hazard and notified him of this. And
sorry, Councillor Emmerich, can I please come in there, Chair? That's an item for ERT. So if Connor's saying that a paper's going to ERT next week,
sorry. You're interrupting me incorrectly here. This is not an ERT matter. The report has been before council, and we sent Chris Hazard's money back to the department, and we couldn't have done that.
Chair, if I can come in, Chair, that is an item for ERT, and it is something that has been considered under the business of ERT. So it is correct to say it is an ERT item and not part of the AHC.
I've been attempting to challenge the sending back of the money, and I've also been attempting to challenge the fact that the National Trust were quoted as being against the project when they're actually for it. I told Chris Hazard about both these two things.
Sorry, Cadogan, please have a wee bit of respect for me, Chair, in the meeting. That's an item for ERT. As I said clearly, that the item is going. I'm very good at letting people in. There's no point in talking on an item that is actually going to be in a paper going to ERT for next week. Whenever I'd gladly take you in there whenever it's relevant at that point. Thank you. So we're going to move on then to Councillor Andrews. You're in next, sir, please.
More or less my question was answered, and I do welcome any initiatives regarding cycling and the walking, because I think it is, especially with COVID, we've seen an escalation in those activities, but any efforts to enhance and improve to be welcomed. But regarding greenways and all that, that'll be for another day's discussion.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Sorry, Councillor Clark, you mentioned your proposal. You're not content that the ERT, can you wait for that?
No, Chair.
ERT, I don't
want to hold the meeting up, but Chair, no, I just feel that ERT will be concentrating on tourism. What I'm talking about is, you know, the general population overall, and I still think that Council needs to develop a cycling strategy for on-road and off-road cycling. So I make that proposal.
I'll second that, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Is everybody in agreement with that? Okay, we can move on then.
Laura, it's Henry here. I was just, you were letting
me come back to you. You disappeared there for a minute, whatever I called you. Come on ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It was just, we're given that we're hopefully reopening our centres and whatever. I'd be really grateful if we could get a lick of paint on the front of the Kilkee Leisure Centre. It is really dilapidated looking. I know if it could be done fairly quickly, it would be great. Thank you.
If you could take that up with the officers separately, Councillor Rowley, that would be useful. If we could move on then, let me see who's next. Councillor McAteer?
No, it was just a question, and just in regard to what Willie's proposal was. You know, that's quite a substantial piece of work talking about there. But now, a strategy, should that not be going to a committee? Has that just been agreed here to nod?
Chair, can I suggest that, following Councillor Clark's proposal, that Michael would bring back paper just regarding the development of that strategy and what's involved in it. If Councillor Clark's in agreement with that, that could go to this month's AHC committee.
Thank you, Marie. Can we maybe move on then to the FPNR minute, the 18th of August? If we go through it then for accuracy initially, so it's page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Do we have a proposer for that meeting? Councillor Byrne, thank you. Have we a seconder? Councillor McGuinness, thank you. Any matters arising from that minute? Okay. If we can then move on, I think we then move on to neighbourhood services on the 19th of August. We have, for accuracy then, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. I think, Councillor Andrews, are you in there first? Are you open to propose that?
Yes, I'm happy to propose the
matter. Thank you, Terry. And then we can take Councillor McGuinness then a second in it. And then for matters arising, Councillor Casey, you're in there first for the question.
Thanks, Chair. It's to do with, I had asked about damaged trees on the walkway at the Newry Canal there. Some of the trees that were damaged, one was actually removed. I had asked that it would be replaced. And Kevin Scullion said at the meeting, he scored at the meeting saying that the relevant officer would contact me with an update about replacing the tree, but nothing has happened yet. So,
Charlie, can you tell me what page or whereabouts in the agenda is that one?
It's some items raised.
What page?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
It's on page 4, Chair, the top of page 4.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
After the Christmas illuminations and
got you now, Charlie. Got you now. Thank you. Roland, do we have an answer for Charlie, or can we arrange for the officer to link in with Councillor Casey?
Absolutely, Chair. I will speak to the officers concerned tomorrow and get back to Councillor Casey.
Lovely. Thank you very much. The next question is from Councillor Dorn. Right, apologies, Councillor Hannah. I've jumped ahead of you there. Councillor Hannah.
Well, thanks, Chair. Just on page 3 there, Laura, matters arising there, commenting, I want to make a proposal on the rewilding and wildflowers across the area. I did raise it in the neighbourhood services in that the Sandra Birch Nookery Avenue, there's pretty much none of the residents are in favour of it being included in the rewilding and wildflowers being planted on it. So what I want to propose is that be removed from the area just at the moment until the residents are consulted. And if the residents don't want wildflowers planted in the central reservation of Nookery Avenue, it does not go ahead. I'm proposing that.
Do you have a second for that proposal, Glenn?
I don't know if anybody's going to second it or not.
I see Councillor Dorn, you're in there with a question, or is that related to the same item, or an S? Are you seconding that proposal?
Yes, second it, Chair. I've spoken to a lot of residents as well who are concerned about it, so we'll have to speak to the residents first before we do anything down there. Okay, sir.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Are we all in agreement? Okay. So we can check then that is there a resident consulted then, or Roland, what would be the process there?
We will arrange for that, Chair. I'll speak with the officers tomorrow and we'll arrange for that before we undertake any works.
Just, Chair, on it, there's the residents facing onto Nookery Avenue. There's also there's about 4 cul-de-sacs off it there, which the residents would be very concerned about this as well. That's Spalga Place across the road. What do you call it?
Can I ask you to send that by email to Roland in terms of the areas, then we can link in on that and move on?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, I think Councillor McAteer, were you in next there?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Nora, Councillor Dorn has a question in for Councillor McAteer.
Oh, sorry, I thought that was regarding the last item. Sorry, Sean, do you want to go on ahead there?
It was just with the last item, Chair, I was saying.
Okay, perfect. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, again, it's on the rewilding wildflower areas. I think as the councillor originally raised this in the context of the Newry to Warren Point dual carriageway, but can I, and that didn't happen unfortunately, but can I commend the park staff on their work, which just recently have come to fruition, come to full flower, and honestly it really does make a tremendous difference where the parks department have done that tremendous work. I think it really does enhance the area. But could I just ask, on the list that's been produced at the meeting, could I ask just that the park staff liaise with a group or a small group of people out on the Derrylecky Bridge area that is owned by council? There's a green area there that is actually owned at the Derrylecky Bridge on the Newry to Muir Bridge Road, where a portion of that maybe could be done as well. That will probably not get it done for this year, obviously, but could that be looked at as well and added to that list of requests from all the councillors at that meeting?
Chair, yes, and I know that our park staff and the managers within that function are liaising with the local DEAs, so that's certainly something can be taken on board for future development.
Okay, that's great. Could you make contact then with, I guess, Leo Sands, operates that one out there?
Okay, thank you, Declan. Okay, can we move on then, Councillor? I think Councillor Owen, you were second in our previous one. Can we move on to Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. It's just that previous item about the rewilding. I find it bizarre that people are opposed to wildflowers through the reservation. I think it would make a great addition to that area, but if the residents need to be consulted in regards to that, that's fair enough. I'm happy enough with that. But we have to think about, we keep bringing motions to council about improving habitats, improving the environment for pollinators. And then when we try to do something, then we're knocking it back. So we have to be conscious in regards to this, because we're talking to other statutory bodies, DFI Roads, Housing Executive in particular, and trying to get them to convince them to have areas for to improve habitats and pollinators. So we need to be mindful of all this, and we do have to obviously consult, that's fair enough. But as I put in the proposal, if they don't want them in that area, that's fair enough. Then there's an area in Islands Park, Newcastle, would take all the wildflowers, and I'm sure you agree, Laura, it would be a good site for wildflowers. So if they don't want it there, we take it to Newcastle.
Thanks, Billy. Your comments been noted, and definitely we're going to Islands Park. Councillor Andrew, if you were next.
Sorry, Chair, I lost power there. I don't know, the computer went dead on me, and I'm just getting set tuned in again. I was in relation to any update on the dog fouling. We had a discussion at our last meeting in the Neighbourhood Services regarding the dog fouling strategy, and I'm just wondering, has there been any communication back in relation to that, especially from the other councils that we were writing to? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Roland. Do you have a response, sir?
Yes, Chair. Report you back this month. Roland, thank you very much. Thanks, Emmanuel. You're welcome.
Much appreciated. Okay, hopefully that's the end of the committee minutes. So we move on then. There was no extract from the planning committee this month. We have items 11, 12 and 13, which are correspondence there. If we have any items, any issues you want to raise. If not, then we deem them just for noting. If we can move on then to item number 14, the flooding conference.
Councillor Savage has a question.
Yep, go on ahead there, Michael.
Can you hear me okay, Chair?
Can indeed, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Chair, it's just recent in relation to the housing conference correspondence that we have there, and I know we raised this before with Councillor Rowan and acknowledged that the bulletin itself is a wee bit scant in detail and doesn't really give us a strategic direction of where the housing council is going. That's very important to us given the housing challenges that we face in the district here. Now, I do acknowledge that having the minutes and the detail in them were quite extensive, and there are a lot of cross-cutting issues that are there across all the districts. But Chair, you know, I'm of the view now, and it comes in the back of us meeting with the housing executive this week where we had extensive information flowing. We have a huge problem here. We have done our best as a council to try and influence getting solutions to those problems. And the first housing needs conference we had in Newry, I believe, was very successful. We saw some of the numbers coming through from the housing executive this week that showed that we had an increase in sites and an increase in units. But the reality is that we're still facing a shortfall around 2023 of over 830 units. That's still a significant challenge, and it tells us that despite our best efforts, we still have huge challenges to meet in this district. And I think it's very important that, when we have Councillor Rowan there at the coalface of hearing the ideas, the concepts, and the potential solutions coming from the Housing Council, that we should try and use what's coming out of that to shape a potential second housing conference. And Chair, I would be proposing, if councillors would agree this evening, that we move towards a second housing needs conference in January or February.
to allow sufficient time for the logistics to come up with some form of a hybrid conference whereby we work between virtual and in situ, because despite COVID, these challenges are still going to be here, despite the great efforts of housing executive staff throughout the whole pandemic, those challenges are faced every day, and I'm about trying to get solutions in the time that we are in council. I believe that we've worked very well together across party to try and come up with solutions. Maybe what we could do as part of that would be that maybe before the end of the year, Councillor Rowan could feed into the officials some form of debrief of what's coming out of the Housing Council that could help shape that agenda for that conference, and work with other councillors to try and shape something that takes it on to the next stage. I think we need to review the work we've done. We saw an increase in the number of units. We've seen collaboration across all the stakeholders. And I would hope that if we did get a conference, that we could engage with the Communities Minister, with the Permanent Secretary of the Department, and the Housing Executive, Chief Executive, along with the other key people involved, including developers and land bank owners, to ensure that we have by the end of 2030, we can look back and say the work that we started at the start of the decade has borne great fruit and has housed much-needed families in much-need of housing across our district, not just in Uri where the crisis is chronic, but right across the district. And we deal with all aspects from rural housing to urban housing to modular housing for short-term accommodation. Chair, I would like to make that proposal, and I would seek the support of all members in the chamber, or not in the chamber, as it was in the virtual chamber tonight, to try and move that forward. And I think by having it in January or February time, it allows us time to shape that. I think it's timely on the back of the meeting we've had with the Housing Executive this week. I commend the work that the Housing Council's done over the last number of months, and Councillor Rowan been on that, and potentially he could feed some of the key elements of what's been discussed there into that agenda, and work with us on a cross-party basis to come up with a second conference that builds on the first one and creates the solutions that we all yearn for to get our people housed. And I would put that as a formal proposal, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savin. You're supposed to have your camera on. You didn't be setting an example. Your camera on for speaking. Let me see.
Look, I'm here now, Chair.
You're okay. I'm going to be tough for next meeting. You've made the proposal. I've been seconded, I think, by Councillor Andrews. Is everybody in agreement there? I see Councillor Clark. You questions. Is this the same issue?
Yeah, Chair, just the same issue, and I support, as said at the meeting with the Housing Executive, I support a second symposium in regards to social housing and how we progress and how we can maybe work in collaboration moving forward. I agree with Councillor Savage. We have made progress on a number of sites. I just look at our own area in Newcastle. We've identified a number of sites for, you know, social housing. Where there's a chronic need as well in Newcastle, and I think it's Warren Point and Newry by far is the biggest crisis. So anything we can do to improve that situation, then I think we should work together. And true community planning, I think, is the way we should be doing it. I think the Housing Executive said that we're going to have discussions through the DEAs. Councillor Savage is happy enough that we allow that piece of work to happen through the DEAs, and then we have a discussion about the symposium moving forward. I have a happy enough to support that, and Councillor Savage is happy with that. We have them discussions first. There is a chronic situation right across the district, and particularly in parts of Newcastle and right across the board, there's houses lying empty. So we need to identify the stock that is lying empty, why they're lying empty, and then move on from that and ensure that we reduce antisocial behaviour in flats to improve the situation as well, where people feel comfortable to live in and want to live in. There's a chronic number of people looking for accommodation.
Thank you. Councillor Clark, Councillor Savage, happy to accept that?
Yeah, well, what I don't want is the scenario to drift. I think the timeline I've outlined, if we can try to work towards that with getting the meetings through our DEAs and use them as potential shaping body. The main thing I'm concerned about here is that we get a conference that is solution-led and it stems from the grassroots, from the community up. And that, you know, I think what came out of the last conference was that the key decision makers heard loud and clear that our district has big, significant challenges and from the housing perspective, but we also have unique challenges and we need unique solutions to those. So, yes, I would agree with Councillor Clark that we do some of that work through the DEAs, but I would like certainly by no later than spring that we have a conference. So I would like if we could potentially work towards February at least, at the earliest, maybe March at the latest, and work that through the DEAs in the meantime. That gives us a good 6 months to come up with the solutions, Chair.
That's right, Chair. Thank you,
Councillor Savage. Is everyone in agreement there with that? We can move on. Okay, Councillor Andrews, you had a question there? You must be on mute, Terry.
Well, it's not a question, Chair. It's more or less a welcome and support wholeheartedly the calling of this housing conference. We did see it firsthand, the success of the last one, but I know that there's a lot more work to be done, especially with the elderly, and then also whenever the post-COVID kicks in on the economic front, what I worry about is people who at the moment are struggling financially to pay their mortgages and pay their way in the houses and stuff. And what I just worry about long-term effects of what's going to happen there. And this over the next 6 months or so, this will give us we can sort of monitor events as to happen. But I think we definitely do need. Another conference in March, but also at the same time to work in tandem with the DEAs and along with the Housing Executive and other bodies to more or less hit the ground running come February and March to see where we go. But definitely, I think it's a wonderful, it's a good idea. I thought the last one in Uri was a success, and maybe the opportunity the next conference will be held in the northern end of the council. But again, I support wholeheartedly the aims and aspirations of Councillor Savage's proposal. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Terry. So we move on to item number 14, the flooding conference. Sarah, I think it's £389. Is there any more details? Is it via Zoom or is it in physical form or what's the...
Yeah, Chair, if I can just come in on that. So it is a virtual. I would be suggesting that we actually allocate a place just to our emergency planning officer who can report back to council through the relevant committee.
Yeah, I think that's very useful to have an agreement with that. Okay. If we move on then, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, we just need a proposal and a seconder for that as well.
Oh, sure. Apologies. A proposal?
Sorry, Chair, I should have proper challenge.
Okay. Proposal from Councillor Pete Byrne and a seconder from Councillor Gallagher. Oh, and a question from Councillor Clark. Sorry, yes, go ahead, Willie.
Chair, sorry for not coming through proper challenge, but. Surely it'd be cheaper than that amount of money. That's a lot of money just to go online to look at some presentations.
Yeah, and Chair, we will look at the validity of it before we would actually fully allocate somebody to it. We'll make sure that it's a value, so we'll do that through Emergency Planning Network.
Thank you, Marie. Okay, so if we move on then to item number, to our notice of motion. The first one is, as we know, Sarah kindly sent out the email, I think it was this morning, notifying the decision to allocate these or refer these motions to committees. So I think the first one's from Councillor Brown and it will be going to AHC. So Patrick, if you wouldn't mind reading out the motion and Liam, who's going to second it, please.
Yes, no problem, Chair. So motion reads as follows. Council welcomes reports from DIRA that incidences of dog euthanasia are down across Northern Ireland in 1920, but is extremely concerned that in the same period our district has had substantially more dogs put down than any other council area. To address this, council will take the following actions. Undertake an investigation into why these figures are so high in the district and bring back a report for consideration on this to the AHC committee. Write to the 10 other council areas asking what measures they took to successfully reduce the number of animals killed, particularly Derry and Strabane, which has seen an 80% reduction, and Ards and North Down, which killed zero dogs this year. Consider ways in which the council can bring together strategic partners such as the dog warden, local kennels, animal welfare officer, PSNI, animal rescue charities to address the issue. including through tackling illegal and unethical breeding and sale of dogs, particularly online. I don't currently have a seconder. It's open to anyone who wishes to do so.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Brown. Seconded by Councillor Enright. Thank you, Cadogan. Well, that will be referred then to AHD. So if we can move on then to number 16 is the a notice of motion from Councillor Clark. That will be referred to the FPNR committee. But Willie, if you want to read out the motion, name who seconded it, please.
Thank you, Chair. This council agrees to develop a social value strategy to further social, environmental and economic goals of Newry, Mourne and Down Council. As far as permissible by law, this council should increase the value of social impact clauses at the procurement stage and to include them within the award criteria. Contracts should be informed by a social needs assessment with consideration given to how social clauses can help address those needs. Assessments should be conducted with key stakeholders, including members of the public, as appropriate. The social value strategy should promote more creative use of social clauses to deliver positive social benefits. Council officials should set up monitoring and evaluation framework for the delivery of social clauses at the start of the contract, and these should be included in the tender documents. The social value strategy should be outcome-based and used to tackle poverty, particularly within the areas of multiple deprivation. Tackling zero-hour contracts and encouraging living wage employment should be central to the strategy and should include but not be limited to our own council and its workforce. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Hammond.
Seconded. Okay, and that will go to FTR committee. Thanks very much. Okay, folks, that's us to the end of the agenda. So thanks for all your cooperation. And maybe just to remind people in advance of the next full council meeting, if we can all just test our cameras, if there's any issues whatsoever with the cameras, to link in with IT in advance of doing so. Okay. So thanks very much, everybody, and good night.
Thank you, Chair.